about part of what I just prayed a moment ago about, the voice of the Lord. And do you know that it's not a small thing when God speaks? You guys realize that? It's not a little thing when God speaks. Psalm 29:4 actually says that the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. You know, isn't that something that we desire, to hear God's voice? That's one of the most frequent questions that I hear from a new believer, is like, how do I know when it's God's voice? What do I have to do to hear God's voice? And just like probably many of you, and like I was at first, we think that that has to be like God's going to speak to me, like he's in the room with me, you know, like I'm going to audibly hear his voice. But we desire his voice. We desire to hear from him. And it's because it's powerful. It's because it's full of majesty. God Almighty, enthroned in heaven, speaking to his children on the earth. I mean, think about how amazing of a thing that is. And he desires to commune with us. He desires that conversation. And, you know, a lot of times we think about prayer and God just wants to hear, you know, our checklist or whatever. But no, he wants to hear your heart. But then he also wants to speak back to you. He has something that he wants to say. So the voice of God is active in our lives. The question most often for us is, are we listening? Right? How many of you have been in a conversation where you're not really listening? The voice is there. You know that it's going on. Sometimes you actually don't know that it's going on, right? Like, it's like, wait, were you talking? Or were you talking to me? Right? It's like the voice is going, but are you listening? And it's the same way with God. He is speaking. Guaranteed, he's speaking to each and every one of us every single day. The question is, are we listening? In Acts chapter 9, Paul, he has this encounter with Jesus, and for the first time that we know of, by his life, I would say it's certainly the first time, he really hears the voice of the Lord. And so I'm going to read through this account here. This is Paul's conversion when he gets saved, when Jesus radically transforms his life. So many of you know this story. But Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 9, in this he's Saul, says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said to him, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. Is it hard for you to kick against the goads? And so he, trembling and astonished, he said, Lord, what do you want from me? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. And Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. This right here, still today, is one of the most amazing accounts, stories, that we see about God speaking to a person on the earth. Could you imagine Jesus speaking to you in this manner? Where you're walking down the road and this light shines down from heaven and you hear his voice. I mean, there's a few of us that maybe you've heard God's voice once or twice where you're like, that was audible. I don't know where it's coming from, but I've heard it. It doesn't seem to happen real often, but imagine you're walking down the street with your friends. The light shines down from heaven, and you hear this voice. How amazing would that be? You know, it's possible. We have the evidence right here that he can do it. He has done it, but it doesn't tend to be the typical method. How does God speak to us? When does he speak to us? What does it sound like? And so I want to look through this account here, this story, and kind of see some ways that God speaks and when he speaks. And the voice of the Lord, first we see with Paul here, the voice of the Lord comes when you're trying to serve him. Okay, and that word trying is going to be key here in just a moment. But the voice of the Lord comes when you're trying to serve him. And we think about Saul and Paul in this message. For those that aren't familiar with the Saul-Paul thing, I'm going to say Paul from here on out, because that way I know who I'm talking about. But these are the same guy, Saul and Paul. Okay, Acts 13:9 says Saul, who was also called Paul. We've got to remember that Paul was a Jew, so he had a Hebrew name, which was Saul. But he was a Roman, so he had a Roman name, which was Paul, and he didn't necessarily change his name. This isn't one of those things, we don't see any evidence that God said, your name will now be Paul, like we did with Abraham or somebody. But it's not that he changed his name, but it's that he became an apostle to the Gentiles, and so he used, from that point on, we see they used his more friendly to the Gentiles name. Okay, Saul was kind of like a prestigious name, and he was known as a killer. Right? Like you're going to run from Paul or from Saul, but maybe not from Paul. So he started using that name in from the best we can tell. And also what's kind of cool is the name Paul actually means small or little. And this is the point when he realizes, okay, big, bad Saul, who's ruling the roost, who's calling the shots and throwing people in prison. Maybe I'm not so big after all, right? After he has this encounter with God. So the scripture I used there said Saul. I'm going to say Paul from here on out. But Paul was threatening and arresting these people that were of the way. Okay, so people that were of this cult, right? That's what he thought. He believed that more than likely they were a cult. If you followed Jesus, Paul was on your tail, right? He was looking for you. He was coming for you, and he was going to get you. And so he really thought that he was doing the work of God. That's something that we've got to remember when we read about what he's doing. He really, in his heart, with all his being, he believed he was doing God's work. He really did. Now, we can see that's clearly not the case, right? God doesn't want you to hunt anybody. I mean, he pretty much hunted them, you know? And it's really depicted pretty cool in certain movies, you know, where they like see him like burst through the house and they're in the backyard praying or whatever, and they're like, we got you guys, like, you know, they're spying over the wall at him or whatever. But I mean, he pretty much hunted them, and his goal was to throw them in prison or to stone them in some cases, to harass them. But he really thought what he was doing was right. Now we got to hear this though. Even though Paul, you know, he was wrong, he really thought he was doing what God wanted him to do. We see him in a roundabout way serving God. At least that's what he thought, right? And this was a man who knew the scriptures. This wasn't just some guy who was like, he was a savage beast and just wanted to kill all, you know, a group of people. He knew the scriptures and he thought he was being obedient to the scriptures, but he was wrong, and Jesus spoke. Jesus spoke up. He said, you know what? This guy needs to hear my voice. And here it is. And he tells him what he's doing wrong. He's telling him what he should be doing and where he's going to go. And the other accounts where he two other times in the book of Acts, Paul tells of his conversion, and he gets a little more specific in telling some of what Jesus had said to him. And he tells him what he's going to do, that he's going to suffer for Jesus's sake. And, you know, the thing is, he was doing something here and he thought he was serving God. And how often are people sitting around and sitting on their hands because they're not sure if God wants them to do this or not? They're not sure, if this is God or not, and I'm not sure, so I'm going to sit around and I got to get 7 confirmations, right? So for the rest of my life, I'm going to do nothing because, you know what, I got no confirmations, and so I need at least 7. That's the perfect number, right? So people sit around and they think, I've got to hear God audibly speak to me on this before I'm going to move. You know, sometimes God maybe just wants us to give it a try. What do you think that I want you to do? Now, if it's murder people, stop. Don't do that. Don't be like Paul in this instance. But the point is, he really believed he was serving God. And even though he was wrong, God spoke. And he said, I see that you're trying to serve me, but that is not it. That's not right, and you need a heart change. You need a revelation. And so do what you think God wants you to do. And if you're wrong, just trust that God will speak and you'll hear his voice. And, you know, a big part of this is knowing the scriptures. But again, remember that Paul knew the scriptures. So it's not just about knowing the scriptures. It's not just about knowing the book, but you need to know the author, right? We heard something like that earlier. We need to know the author as well. You know, we're kind of supposed to know the will of God, right? I mean, aren't we kind of supposed to know it? I mean, I know we don't know it perfectly, but we're supposed to have some kind of idea of what he desires of us. And it's all over in his word, and we hear it even in the songs that we sing. We hear it in prayers that are prayed. We hear it in messages that are preached. And so if you think that it's God, do it. Don't wait all your life for seven confirmations, because if you make a mistake, you will hear his voice. Do you know that? If you make a mistake, you certainly will hear his voice at that point. And we've got to stop being afraid to fail, afraid to mess up. In the basketball, in the NBA, okay, the average for a two-point basket, the average for league-wide is making 45%. Okay, so 45%. Now, some of the really good ones are in the 50s, mid-50s or whatever. Some of them are even better than that, but they don't ever shoot farther than a dunk. But the average is 45%. So you think about that. That means they're missing 55%, more than half of every shot that they put up. And the ones that shoot three-pointers, it's even worse. The league average is 35%. And there's guys that that's what they make their living on, is shooting three-pointers. You know, and they probably miss, you know, they maybe make 40, 45%. So they don't go out there and worry about whether the last decision, the last shot was right, or whether it was wrong. They missed it and they're trying again, right? Kobe Bryant shot 60 times a game, it seemed like, you know, but he scored 40 points. You do the math, that's not a very good percentage, but he kept shooting and kept shooting and kept shooting. Eventually some went in. Baseball is actually even worse. The average for a Major League Baseball player gets a hit. Now, they get on base with walks and other things, but they get a hit about 25% of the time is league average. Even the great ones, it's 30%. You know, 30, 31% is a really great player. They miss 75% of the time. They get out. I mean, they can't just give up and, you know what, I'm not even going back out there for my next at bat. This stinks. I keep missing. I keep messing up. And you know what? Sometimes we've just got to keep trying. If you mess up, you'll hear the voice of God. He will lead you. He will guide you back to where you need to be if you're wrong. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." He'll straighten it out, but you got to be on a path to begin with. You've got to be doing something. If you want God to make your path straight, you have to be on a path. Get up and move. Do something. And you will hear the voice of God if it's wrong. The next thing is, the voice of God comes when you need that change in direction. Not just when you're doing something that may be wrong, but maybe it's like Paul. He needed like a total 360. He was doing what he thought he needed to, but God said it's time to change direction. He basically told Paul, life as you know it is over, right? That is done. Like, every single bit of your life is getting ready to change. Now hear me for a second. Paul, I guarantee you, thought that he was saved. Guaranteed. He knew the scriptures, and God said, you've got it totally wrong. Your life needs a complete 180. We are foolish if we ever think that God isn't going to tell us at times that we need a complete 180. Like, where you're at is completely wrong. You're not even in the ballpark of where you need to be. We can get there just as easy as somebody like Paul had gotten there. And he says, it's time to turn around, because life is going to be new. Something different is getting ready to happen. I'm going to do something new. Most of the time when we want the voice of God, what we want is an encouragement. What we want is a answer to prayer. What we want is a yes, you can have that. Yes, you can do that. That's what we typically want. And those are good things, but you know what? When we really hear the voice of God, it needs to be about much more than just an encouragement. It needs to be about transformation. It needs to be about our lives being changed. God is not just a God who blesses. He does bless, but if that's all we're wanting to hear from him, we're not any better than Paul. We've got it wrong. It needs to be about, I need to hear God's voice because I need things in my life to change direction, to turn around. We need the voice of God to shape us and mold us into the image of Christ. Romans 8:29 says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." That's what God's desire is to conform us to the image of Christ. And a part of the way he does that is through his voice, through speaking to us, through saying, "Listen, man, you've got it wrong. You need to turn around. This is what you should be doing instead." We've got to be listening for that voice. We're to know Jesus, to be more like him. And you know what? That voice doesn't always tell us what we want to hear. I got anybody that can back that up? That voice isn't always something we want to hear. It's not always an easy thing to receive. Sometimes it's challenging, because sometimes it's going to involve change in our life. And you know what? If we hear that voice that says, "You are doing perfect and you don't need to change a thing," I'm going to tell you right now that that is not God. I can guarantee with certainty that that is not God. God is always pushing us to change. And now I'm going to tell you that sometimes we can hear that we need to change, and sometimes it can beat us up, and that can still be the devil. Okay? Condemnation. If it's conviction, you're encouraged. You're excited to change about the possibility of what can be, and you feel like, "I can do this." Whereas condemnation is like, "You need to change, but you stink, and you've tried, and you can't do it. And you're going to feel bad, and I'm going to beat you over the head with it." Okay? That can still be the voice of the enemy, and still tell you you need change. But if it's saying, "Sit still, you're perfect, you don't need to change a thing," you can guarantee that it's the devil. We all need change. We all need transformation until we are in the perfect image of Christ. The voice of the Lord also shows you your sin. You know, Paul was sincere in this desire to serve God. He was sincere in serving God. But no matter how sincere he was, no matter how much he wanted that to be right, it still wasn't. And so sometimes Christians think that, well, my intentions are sincere. I mean well by what I'm doing, and I want to do right. We think that maybe God's going to kind of let that slide because our heart is right. Right? Like, "Oh, he'll let this little sin slide over here because my intentions are good. I meant to do better." But you know, it's in those times that we forget sometimes that sin is still sin and sin is still wrong, right? That doesn't change. It's not dependent on what your intentions are. It's not dependent on whether you're sincere about desiring change. God doesn't look at our lives and say, "You know what? You're doing really good in most areas, so we'll just let that sin slide. We'll just ignore it because you're doing pretty good otherwise." That's not the way that it works. God is holy. God is just. And God wants what's best for us, which is, "No, stop doing that. Don't do that anymore. Here's what you need to do instead." He's going to speak to us. He'll tell us those things. He desires for us to be holy just like he is holy. It's why he tells us that. He wants us to be uncommon. He wants us to be set apart. He wants us to be different from the world, devoted to him, seeking him. He desires all those things for us because those are the descriptions of someone who is holy. It's someone that listens to the voice of God when the voice of God is speaking, and especially when it's about their sin. You know, we don't have to listen to the voice of the enemy. You know, we don't have to live a life that is overcome with sin, with thought process that is overtaken by sin. Jesus came to set us free from that, right? He came to set us free. And in him we have that power to overcome. And in him we have that power to have our heart changed and cleansed and our motives purified. And we can only do that when we listen to the voice of the Spirit of God regarding the sin and the actions of our lives. That's the only way we can do that. The voice of God also comes in a way that we can understand. How many of you are like, yeah, right? The voice of the Lord comes in a way that we can understand. In Acts 26, when Paul's recalling this conversion to the king, as he's pleading his case, like he's getting ready to be judged, but he's telling the king about his conversion, and he talks about a little more specific, and he says that he heard the voice of God in Hebrew, and some versions are a little more specific and say Aramaic. Okay, this was a distinct dialect of Hebrew, and this is what Paul knew. This is what he would have been taught growing up, even though he knew multiple languages. This was his native language, so to speak. And so this is how Jesus chose to speak to Paul, right? Do you know that if God divided people up by a bunch of different languages, do you know that he knows all those languages? Right? He's like, we're not tricking him by like, you know, it's like when you're around Oriental people or Mexican people or something. It's like they're speaking in another language and you know they know English. And you're kind of like, are they talking about me? Like, are they saying something they don't want me to hear? Okay, I think sometimes we're that way with God. God knows. He knows all those languages that people are broken up into. And he chooses to speak to Paul in his native language, in the one that is nearest to his heart, that he knows the best, not in a way that's confusing. He could have spoke to Paul in another language. And Paul would have been like, what is that? What am I saying? Hey guys, can you guys translate? And they'd be like, dude, we don't know what he said. We heard a noise and we don't even know what it is. And he spoke to him in a way that he could understand, not in a way that was confusing. And to Paul, this was the audible voice of God, is how he heard. But you know what? He could speak to us in a way that we understand that maybe is not an audible voice. Some people are great with nature. It's like they can look outside and look in the clouds and get a message from God, right? Some preachers are like this, where like they could look at a rock and come up with 5 3-point sermons, right? It's like God just speaks to them through nature. And I'm like, it's just a rock. I don't get it. Like, what are you talking about? Some of us, it's through metaphors and through experiences in life. And you know, there's so many different ways that God speaks to people. Some it may be through dreams and visions. Some it may be through songs. And it might be different for you each time. Right? God speaks to us in a way that we can understand, in a way that is relatable. And even if we have like a dream or something that we don't really understand, it may not be that you don't understand it. It may just be you need to pray about it and you need to think about it for a while. And certainly you can get wisdom from others. But the point is that God speaks to us in ways that we can understand. I saw this story about a guy that was dealing with a heavy issue in his life. And, you know, he's driving down the road and all of a sudden he sees coming at him. He must not have been going very fast, but he saw coming at him 2 butterflies. And they're coming right at the windshield. First butterfly, smack, into the windshield. And the other one just missed and floated on and carried on with his life. Me, I would just be like, well, okay, whatever. Turn on the windshield wiper, you know, fluid so it gets it off of there and I would move on. But he's like, huh, that was weird. And he said instantly in his spirit, God told him, do you know what that was? He said, that was you and your wife. He said, if you don't get over this sin issue, this big issue in your life that you've been dealing with, that's going to be you on the windshield and that's going to be your wife carrying on with life. And he was like, you know, this guy was talking about how this really spoke to him, like in a huge way. It's like, and again, for me, I would have been like, whatever, push the button. For him, it was something that changed his life. You know, how many of you guys would be like me and you just ignore it probably? Okay, but for him, it was life changing. God spoke to him through the death of a poor animal. Okay, a bug, a poor bug, you know, and he spoke to him and radically changed and transformed this guy's life through something to us that most of us would ignore. So the voice of the Lord does not always sound the same to everybody, because not everybody understands the same language, so to speak. We may all know English, but it may not be our learning language that we need. And so God uses all these different ways to speak to people. And you know what? We should never say that God won't speak to a certain person in a specific way just because that's not how he speaks to us. Right? Like, well, God wouldn't speak to you that way through a butterfly hitting a windshield. That's silly. You just made that up. No, don't. Just because he doesn't speak to you in a certain way doesn't mean that he's not going to speak to someone else in that way, because God speaks. The voice of the Lord comes in a way that we can understand. I've had people tell me things before where it's like they feel like God's telling them to do something, leading them to do something. And for me, it didn't sit well. You know, it was like in my spirit, I was kind of like, I don't really think that that's probably what you should be doing. But what I've always been really careful with, and I've told Christy this a couple of different times, make sure that I don't ever do this. I try to never tell somebody that was not God, because that's not my place to do it. I don't know if it was God or not. Now, if it's not biblical, I would say that's not God. But if it's not, if I don't see where it doesn't, if it doesn't clash with the Bible, if it just clashes with what I think personally or something, I'm not going to declare that something wasn't God, because God spoke to them in a way that they can understand. Now, I may give wisdom and share wisdom about the situation and maybe alternatives, but be careful to never say that that wasn't God just because it wasn't the way that God speaks to you. And we need to remember, you know, that other times we can clearly hear the voice of the Lord and other people that are with us not hear that voice. This is what happened with Paul, right? He was with those other guys, and it says they heard the noise, they heard the sound, they knew something was going on, but they didn't hear it. They didn't hear the words. They didn't know what was being spoken. And Paul has this conversion experience, and here they are, just they're there too. Were they radically changed and transformed? Not to my knowledge. It doesn't say that they were. It's possible, but it doesn't say. Don't we see that even in the church? Two people come to the exact same church service, and they walk out, and one of them's like, holy cow, can you believe how amazing worship was today? Man, God was just downloading stuff in me, and he was speaking to me, and then, you know, so-and-so prayed, and it's like, what they prayed was exactly what I needed in my life, and then the message, you know, there was this and that spoke to me, and then at the end, like, it was just like, it was the greatest day of my life. And the person they're telling it to is like, I didn't get any of that at all. Like, were we in the same place? Because to me, worship was dead. The message wasn't any good. People that were praying were just making stuff up. You know, yeah, I've heard stuff like this before. Two people in the same place at the same time. And you're like, are you kidding me? Were you at the same place I was at? But you know what? Sometimes God speaks, and it may be clear as day to you and not to the person that's right next to you. We've got to remember this. The question isn't, again, is God speaking? But the question is, are we listening? He's speaking to you, and he's speaking in a way that you can understand. But are you focused on him? Are you looking for it? Are you paying attention, or are you distracted? Listen, if your wife is talking to you and you are watching the football game, you're not listening. I'm sure of it. I've tried it. It's not possible. If you're watching the game, you're not listening. What you have to do is you have to mute it, okay, and turn your eyes away from it and like, yes, honey, like what were you saying? Can you start over? You have to have your attention on them. You have to not have distractions. Listen, mute the game. Don't just turn your eyes because you're like, what just happened, right? You do this with baseball. You turn on baseball, and all of a sudden, you know, baseball's pretty quiet. When you hear cheering, you're like, what happened and who was up? Was it my team? Was it the other team? No, you have to silence distractions. You have to focus on that person if you're truly going to listen and comprehend what they are saying. It's not any different with God. We have to silence distractions. We have to just listen and focus on him. And okay, God, I know that you're speaking, and I need to get rid of all this stuff that's clouding up my focus. There we go. See, I need my focus back. It's clouding up my focus, and I need to focus on you and be direct and intentional about listening. What are you saying to me this morning? Because God is speaking. Also, the voice of the Lord will come through other people. Right? Sometimes it's a prophetic word. Sometimes it's wisdom. Sometimes it may just be a confirmation about something that's been spoken to you. And even that, I think about sometimes we receive a word from somebody and we're kind of like, well, like I haven't really heard that from God, so I'm going to kind of dismiss it. It really doesn't confirm anything. Don't forget what I just said. There's a lot of times you're not listening. It might be confirmation because God may have already told you that and you didn't listen. You weren't paying attention. If we think about Paul in this story, you know, if you read on, God sends him to this man, Ananias, and he had already spoke to Ananias and he said, I'm sending Paul to you. And he's like, Paul the murderer, you're sending him here. Thanks, God. You know, this is my last day. What do I want for my last meal? But he sends him there and he tells him, what's going to happen? He tells him what to say to Paul. And, you know, and it was great because Paul shows up and, you know, Paul receives this confirmation that, yes, that was God that I encountered because this guy knows what's going on and he wasn't there. And you know what? I'm pretty sure that Paul didn't really doubt if that was God at this point. Audible voice, I'm blind. I need my friends to lead me to this guy that's going to spit in my eyes and, you know, but God uses people to speak to us. He may use a friend, he may use a teacher, he may use a coworker, he may use a parent, all these different people to convey the message of truth to our lives. And those can come in many ways. It can be a warning, it can be a blessing, it can be a prophetic truth about our lives, but whether we choose to hear it or ignore it depends on us. Are we going to listen to what it is? I've learned also to not completely dismiss anything that somebody tells me. Even if it's a criticism, even if it's something I don't agree with, or I'm not really sure, like, I don't think God would tell me that, is the way that I used to view things a lot of times. I try not to dismiss anything anymore. Because you know what? There's a possibility that I haven't been listening to God. Is there anybody else in the room that there's a possibility you haven't been listening to what God has been trying to tell you? And so how foolish would it be to completely dismiss something else that's from another man or woman of God that might be what God has been trying to get through to you? And he just finally is like, you know what? Maybe if you tell him, maybe they'll listen to you, right? Sometimes it's like that in the church. I'm like, one of the elders, you guys go tell them because they're not listening to me, right? Sometimes you do that in the household. It's like, hey, Craig, they're not listening to me. You go tell the kids. Maybe we'll give this another try. Try another avenue. Same message, but through a different person. Maybe they'll listen to you instead. And so God uses other people to speak to us, people that maybe we will focus on and give them our attention. So when we have those things, when we have those kind of words, you know, we need to remember to receive that, pray about it, make sure it lines up with the word of God, and then consider it and pray and see, is that what God wants me to do? But here's what a word of God should look like through another person. James 3:17 tells us, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. If a friend tells you something that's a message from God and it kind of lines up with that, you want to receive it. You want to take it. Now, if it's something that's just causing trouble, you know, maybe not, okay? But this is what a real word of God should look like. All of these things here, and I don't have time to go through all those one by one. Maybe we'll do that another week. But the word of God will not come in the form of agreeing with your sin. We need to remember that as well. Telling you it's okay, giving reasons that, well, in your case, it's acceptable. Like, don't worry about it. It's not good for, I know it's not good for everybody else, but for you, it's okay. Again, just like earlier, that would be the word of the enemy trying to destroy your life, okay? And the last way that we hear the voice of God or see it in this story with Paul is the voice of the Lord comes in both sudden and gradual revelation. So bam, you get it right now, and stuff that you receive over time. We know that God spoke to Paul on that day. We know that Jesus told him, here are the things, Paul, that your life is going to consist of now. It's going to be suffering, it's going to be hardship, and it's going to be for me. He tells him all these things. But was that the last time that Paul had the voice of the Lord in his life? No, not at all. God continually gave Paul guidance and direction for his life. Remember, there's several times in the book of Acts where Paul's like, well, we were going to go here, but the Holy Spirit prevented us. He told us no. He told us we needed to go somewhere else instead. He was constantly in tune with the Spirit of God, and he was hearing the voice of God. We see where he talks about God's answer to prayers and how God responded to certain things that he asked for. Sometimes it was an answer he liked. Sometimes it was an answer he didn't, like the thorn in the flesh, right? He's like, well, God, can you take this from me? And he's like, my grace is sufficient for you. Bam, voice of God. And from all we can tell, that was the end of it. Paul didn't complain about it or bring it up again. Not to us, anyway. Maybe to God, he probably did. But he heard the voice of God in multiple different ways. And as we listen to the voice of God, we will look foolish to the world. Will we not? Shouldn't we look foolish to the world if we're listening to the voice of God? Just like with Paul, some things are instant and some things we learn over time. Following the voice of God for somebody like Paul, probably at least initially, it led to kind of being alone, right? I mean, what did those friends do after they got him to Ananias' house? Did they stay with him? I don't know. It doesn't tell us, but I know I probably wouldn't have. I'd have been like, all right, dude, we'll get you there only because you can't see. And then we're going on to kill Christians or whatever, you know, whatever they were going to do. But sometimes the voice of God can leave you alone, lead you to being alone. Because just like it was with Paul here, he didn't tell Paul your life's going to be easy. He said your life's going to be different. He said your life's going to be changed. After his conversion, Paul was beaten. He was whipped. He was shipwrecked. He was abandoned, stoned, and all these different things he went to, and God didn't call him to a life of ease. But Paul still responded in obedience. He continued to hear the voice of the Lord, and he continued to be obedient. How many of you would give up after almost being stoned to death? I'd be like, just please throw another one, you know, just one more. I think we're one short, you know, throw the full 40 or whatever at me that you got to do. So many of us would give up, but as he continued to hear the voice of the Lord, he just continued to be obedient. Every time. It's the only way that we will ever get to where God wants us to go. It's the only way is if we hear his voice and we're obedient and we do what it is that he's telling us to do. The good news is that not everybody, just like we don't all receive the same language and that God speaks to us in different ways, we are not all called to the same path. We're all called on the same path to God, but as far as our journey in life and how we get to that destination through what we do for God in this life, it's not the same. We're not all necessarily going to be called to suffering in the point where we're shipwrecked and stoned and beaten and whipped. Thank you, Jesus. That'd be a great time for one of those. Because if you're not called to that, I would say you have a reason to celebrate today. Amen? I know I sure do. I couldn't handle one of those things, let alone all of them. And so we're not all called to the same path, but you know what? We can't hold back from listening to the voice of God because it might disrupt our plans. Is that sometimes why we don't listen? Because we don't really want to hear the answer? Not when you're talking. I'm just interested in the game. Like, I want to hear later. But when it's God, isn't it that we really don't want to be disrupted? It's not just, I don't want to pause the game. It's like, I really don't want you to change my life because I kind of like it. Right? I kind of like what I'm doing. I kind of like that, you know, things are going good for me right now. And I kind of like to just stay in this groove. So God, just, I'll let you know when I need you. Right? I'll give you a call. I got your number. But the only way we're ever going to get where God wants us to go is if we listen to his voice. Forget about, is it going to disrupt my plans? Absolutely, it will. He will disrupt your plans because you know what? He's got other plans and they're better. Even Paul, shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, all these things. Weirdly enough, better, right? Better path than being a murderer. It is better. He still ended up in prison a lot, but his path was better because he had the presence of God in his life. This guy, half of what he wrote, maybe more, was from prison, and you don't ever see any, woe is me, my life stinks, I wish I would have kept killing all the Christians. No, he's like, I've got the joy of the Lord. I've got the peace of God, and he goes through all these things. We have to hear the voice of God, and he will direct our paths. Remember, even if you go down the wrong path, even if you start going and it's the wrong way, he'll correct you and he'll guide you back to where you need to be. Know that in any difficulty that's on that path, you can always say, the Spirit of God is with me. No matter how hard the path is, he is with me. We have to listen to the voice of the Lord because it's what's best for our lives. So the question now is, so how about you? How have you responded to the voice of the Lord? How have you been listening for the voice of the Lord? Just you, TJ. Just you. If you would close your eyes, just stay seated this morning, but I want you to close your eyes and just think for just a moment. You know, a lot of us, we've heard that first call from the voice of the Lord. We've heard the call into sonship, into daughtership, into the kingdom of God, and we've said yes. We've said, Lord, I will do that. I will be a part of your family. I will accept Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. And we've said yes to that, and a lot of times it's kind of where it stops because it's like I paid my dues and I don't need to do anything else. But when's the last time that you came to the Lord and listened? You came to the Lord and listened, and then when he spoke, you were obedient. When he spoke, you followed his guidance that he's trying to relay to you. When was the last time? Have you done that lately? Have you listened to the voice of God for your life? Now, I'm saying not just, God, what do you want me to do? And you give him 30 seconds and you move on, but really focus. And Lord, I need to hear your voice today. I need my life to be changed and transformed. I know that you have a better plan than what I have. I need my path straightened out. I've been trying to serve you. I've been doing what I think that I know that I'm supposed to do. And if I'm wrong, I need your voice. I need the voice of the Lord to correct me. Lord, I've been trying to live above sin. And some of it, I just can't. And I need your voice. I need you to help me. I need you to speak to me. Sometimes maybe it's, Lord, I'm trying to hear your voice, and in my quiet time, I can't focus and I can't hear what you're trying to say to me. Will you speak to me through some other means that I know is you, in a way that I can understand it? Maybe through another person. Maybe your thing is that you've had some revelation from God, but you need more. You desire more. It's, Lord, I know that as I read, you've told me a couple of things, but God, I need this continued, this long-term revelation where time after time after time, as I go back to the well, Lord, that it's never dry because your well is the well of the living water that gives revelation to my soul. When is the last time that you were silent before the Lord and just listened to what it is that he's saying to you this morning? So for a moment, it may be awkward for some, but I'm telling you, we're just gonna take a few moments in silence. I'm gonna have TJ continue to play like he's doing now, and and just spend a few moments just listening. Not listening to the people around you and what's going on in your environment, but try to tune in to what God has for you this morning. Try to focus solely on Him. I mean, if you have to plug your ears, plug your ears. Nobody else is going to be looking anyway. But focus on the Lord and say, God, what are you speaking to me this morning? As we do that, TJ, if you just continue to play, and then as time passes, Mark, when you're ready, you can come up and close us out. But let's listen to the Lord for a few minutes this morning and expect an encounter. Expect transformation in our lives, because that's what we get when we